About the resurrected Christ, the resurrected Christ. A few weeks ago, I shared a message with away, and the microphone that keeps falling away. We thought something was wrong with the other one, and now it must be in the system instead of the microphone. But anyway, this great falling away, of course, is a time of great deception that's going to fall on the whole world. And Jesus warned about it, even to the Christians, and he told us, you know, you need to be real careful because even the very elect can be deceived. So in order to protect ourselves from being deceived and to assure ourselves of our place in Christ, we need to see if the Jesus we claim to know is the same Jesus of Scripture that one day is going to return to this earth. And this is so important. I'm telling you, we're already in a time of deception, and there are multiplied thousands of churches all around the world, and we're seeing such a deception just creep into these churches, and I want us to be careful with this church. I don't want anything in this church that even resembles being a deceit. And so we need to be very sensitive to what God is speaking in this time. So who is this resurrected Christ that we're concerned about? I say concerned. We're the ones that should have the concern. He's not concerned. He's already at the right hand of the Father. He's come and done his work. And now he's waiting to come back the second time, okay? So let's begin with James's statement about Jesus in James chapter 2, verse 19. James chapter 2, verse 19, and I'll be reading it out of the Amplified Version. You believe that God is one, you do well. So do the demons believe, and they shudder in terror and horror, such as makes a man's hair stand on the end and contract the surface of his skin. The demons believe in this resurrected Christ. And we should have that same kind of belief. But what is it about Jesus that these demons see that many of us have never seen in this day and time? Think about it for a minute. When a demon looks at Jesus, what do they see that we don't see today? Have you ever got around somebody that had a demon? Kind of like the hairs on the back of your neck just stand up. It's a weird feeling, amen. But that's the way they feel when they're around Jesus. When the presence of God comes into this room, you can feel it. And a lot of times it'll be the same reaction. You can feel it just on the back of your neck. I mean, there's just something here, and it's God himself. So there's something in the spirit realm that goes on that we need to be more sensitive to so that we can understand this Jesus who was crucified, this Jesus who was buried and who rose from the dead. Who is this resurrected Christ? Well, the Apostle John wrote about him in the encounter that he had with him toward the end of his life. And let's look at that in the book of Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1, beginning in verse 10. He said, I heard a great voice calling like a war trumpet, saying, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. John was on an island all by himself. And the one thing that he declared before he heard all of this, he said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. I was in the Spirit, in the Holy Spirit on the Lord's day. And he hears this great voice begin to speak. What would you do? Yeah. Would you run? Or would you do like John? He fell on his face before this voice. On down in verse 17, He said, and when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not, I am. I like that. I am. That's the name of God, him, that God gave himself. I am. I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of hell and death. Thank God he has those keys. Amen. So is this the same Jesus that taught John for that three and a half years? Was this the same Jesus that John saw crucified on a cross? Was this the same Jesus that appeared to John and the other disciples after he was resurrected? Was this the same Jesus that John watched ascend into heaven with the other disciples or the other apostles? And it's absolutely the same Jesus. Yet this time he is the resurrected Jesus who has broken free from the restraints of a physical body. He now reigns in great power in the heavens where he came from. The question is, do you know this Jesus? Do you know this Jesus? Who is the resurrected Christ? Well, Paul writes about this Jesus, describing his encounter that he had with Jesus along his way going to Damascus. Let's look at it in Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9, beginning in verse 3. And as he journeyed, he came to Damascus. This is Paul's writing. And suddenly a light flashed from heaven, and he fell to the earth and heard a voice say, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? And the men who journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. I said that Paul wrote this. Paul didn't write this. Luke did. But when Paul was still Saul, he hadn't been renamed yet, he had seen Jesus in and around the city of Jerusalem. In fact, he was one of the Pharisees that had persecuted the disciples and Jesus himself. But it's the same Jesus that Paul encounters on the road to Damascus on that day. And he is the same Jesus, but in a resurrected state. Scripture says that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So do you know this Jesus? Do you know the Jesus that Paul knew? Do you know the Jesus that John knew? And see, these are all questions that we need to confirm in our spirits, because our eternal security depends on our having a relationship with this Jesus. You see, this is one of the deceits in the world right now. The world church has come to a place where they've altered everything so much, and people don't know what is truth and what is not truth. In fact, many churches have discovered their own way they think that they can get into heaven. But let me assure you, there's nothing changed from the message that Jesus brought until today. It's still the same. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Amen. Who is this resurrected Christ? Well, in this, the Christ that we need to know today, many of us have a wrong perspective of this Jesus who is supposed to be our Lord and our Savior. We see him, but many of us see him in different ways. And this is creating a problem in this age that we live in. So let me give you three examples of what I'm talking about. The first example is some of us see Jesus as a baby lying in a manger. That's as far as we got with him. Oh, we celebrate his birth once a year. And And you know, everybody loves a baby, and it's easy to, you know, receive things from Jesus around Christmas because babies are not threatening, but we don't have any fear of babies either. But we acknowledge this Jesus once a year. And the sad truth is that's the only time we acknowledge him. And is that having a relationship with a Jesus who laid down his life for you? You see, our concept of Jesus as a baby does not picture the Jesus who's supposed to be our Lord and our Savior. He will grow into that, and he will eventually become Lord and Savior. But when we just keep our focus on the baby, then we're not focusing on the right thing. When we truly know Jesus as Lord and our Savior, Paul says that the salvation that we receive from him, from Jesus, is a precious thing. And that's the way that we need to wake up and understand that the salvation that Jesus bought and paid for us is a precious thing. Let's look in Paul's letter to the Philippian church in chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, in verse 12. He says, "Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. He's not saying go out and find another way to heaven. There is only one way to heaven. Jesus said that no man cometh unto my Father except through me. So anything else apart from that is a lie. It's a deception. And we need to cast it down under our feet and not accept it. Does this sound like a passive daily acknowledgement of this resurrected Jesus? You see, this resurrected Christ is the one that was willing to pay the price for you and for me, for our sin. And the miracle of it all was that you and I weren't even born yet when Jesus bore our sin on that Christ, on that cross. And as he hung on that cross and God laid the sin of the world upon his shoulders, Jesus saw you. And he saw me. And that's awesome to think about. He knew who he was receiving the sin from when he died on that cross. He took your sin away, and he took my sin away. And yes, he was born into this world as a baby, like we all are. But he's much, much more than just a baby in a manger. He is the risen Christ. He's the resurrected Jesus. Some of us see Jesus as a man who did great miracles and walked upon this earth, and he did. Jesus did great things. But in our minds, we don't really believe that we can be like him, even though he's called us to be like him. You know, Scripture says for us not to lean to our own understanding, but we do in this realm because we don't think we can ever become like Jesus. When the real truth is we can. And the reason that we can is because God has said that we can. He spoke it through his Son. So Jesus was someone back then, yes, but we are to be in him today. That's our calling in life, is to be in him today. And we're to look like Jesus looked, both in countenance and in power. You know, I've preached a lot of years, and I've seen people listen and listen and listen and listen, but things never change in their lives because they don't believe. And do you understand how much believing has to do with your eternal salvation? I mean, everything about God and his plan for salvation hinges on you and I believing. believing with all of our hearts. And this means to believe in everything that Jesus stood for and still stands for. You see, our concept of Jesus, His being our fix-it man in times of trouble and His meeting our selfish, self-centered needs is not who the Savior and Lord is, even though He does these things. But yet that's why so many of us get mad when God doesn't do things that we wanted Him to do. No, the real Jesus is the resurrected Christ who made a choice in the Garden of Gethsemane on that night before He died. And the choice that He made was that He was going to die for you. Isn't that something? He made a choice. I'm going to lay down my life for all of them. And what should our response be to something like that? Well, we ought to be able to lay down our lives for Him. And you see, this is so simple, yet we make it so complicated. That's what Jesus is calling us to right now, is just to give up and begin to walk in Him. Scripture says, greater is He that is in me than he is in the world. And that's an awesome thing if we would ever come to the level of believing it. You can walk in greatness, but you have to believe it's Him in you that's walking in you. Amen? Jesus made a choice to go to hell for you so that you wouldn't have to go. Made that statement a while ago. Jesus went to hell and got the keys to hell and death and brought them out of there so you and I don't have to go to hell. There was no sacrifice for sin for you and I until Jesus was raised from the dead. No sacrifice. And yet He made the all-sufficient sacrifice for us. How can we neglect so great a salvation? That's what Paul wants us to remember. How can we neglect that great of salvation in our lives? Some of us see Jesus as a man who died on the cross for the sins of mankind, but we don't really believe that He died for our sins. And again, this is a lie. It's a lie that the enemy has made some people believe that Jesus didn't really die for them. Listen, Jesus was beaten and bruised, it says in Scripture. He was rejected, He was crucified, He was buried, and He was raised from the dead. And all of this was done. All of this He endured for you and I, so that we can walk in victory every day of our lives. And somehow we see that He left this earth, ascended into heaven, and we know that He's at the right hand of God, but we don't see ourselves hidden in Him or able to stand with Him in heavenly places. Think about it. Most of us don't even believe that, even though that's what Scripture says. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Again, I'll be reading out of the Amplified. And this is Paul writing. Beginning in verse 1. And now, let me remind you. You see, our ears ought to perk up right there. Paul's saying, right now, I want to remind you about something, since it seems to have escaped you. You see, we get in that position in our relationship with Jesus where we forget what He did and why He did it. And so Paul wants to remind us. Brethren of the gospel, or remind you of the gospel, the glad tidings of salvation, which I proclaim to you, and which you welcomed and you accepted, and upon which your faith rests, and by which you are saved. It would be all right if there was a period right there. But it's not. There's a comma. And it says, if you hold fast and keep firmly what I preach to you. Well, that changes once saved, always saved. Doesn't it? And see, this is why we're so ignorant to the Scriptures, because we don't take time to read it. We just go on what somebody else told us or taught us somewhere back down the road. And that's why it's important that we get into Scripture, that we understand what our salvation is all about and how we can protect it and how we can keep it and how we can walk in it. And Paul's saying, I want you to understand this. The gospel which I proclaim to you, which you welcome and accepted, and upon which your faith rests, and by which you are saved, if you hold fast and keep firmly what I preach to you, unless you believed at first without effect, and all for nothing. All for nothing. For I passed on to you in verse 3, first of all, what I also had received, that Christ the Messiah, the Anointed One, died for our sins in accordance with what the Scriptures foretold. You can go back in Isaiah and find what the Scriptures prophesied. In verse 4, that he was buried, that he rose on the third day as the Scriptures foretold. You see, Paul's saying it's possible to believe at first, but it may not have had any effect on you. You see, this is that old thing about head knowledge and heart knowledge. You can have all of the head knowledge you want about Jesus Christ, but if you don't have a heart knowledge of Him and enter into a relationship with Him, then you're going to miss it. Because just understanding about Jesus is not where salvation lies. Salvation lies in you believing what Scripture says about Him and taking that into your heart and building a day-to-day relationship with Him. Do you understand that? Because it's important. Your whole future relies upon you believing. You see, our concept of believing Jesus did all these things, but we're not accepting our positions in Him. And could it be that we never truly ever accepted Jesus as our Lord and Savior? And that's what Paul is talking about here. Oh, you heard the information, but you never did pick it up and walk with it, make a relationship with it. And now you forgot it, or it's become second rate to you. And there's nothing second rate about Jesus. He's our everything. Amen. So who is this resurrected Christ? Well, we're getting a better picture of Him, that's for sure. First of all, He's the God-man who loved you so much that He laid down His life for you. You know, and that's one thing that I don't think that we can ever think enough about. To continually remind ourselves that Jesus laid down His life for us. I can remember the times when I would read about, Jesus in the Gospels, read about, His relationship with His disciples and everything that He told them, and then it came to the end, where He laid down His life. And back when I was younger, that really didn't ever sink into me, how important it was for me to understand and believe that He was doing that for me. See, 2,000 years ago seems like a long, long time ago. And if that happened a long time ago, well, why would it still have any effect on me today? Well, it has tremendous effect on you. It has eternal effect on you. Because that's what Jesus did. He laid down His life. And now He's asking you and me to lay down our lives for Him. And we do that in intimate relationship with Him. Daily, intimate relationship with Him. Can't just think about Him on Sunday morning. He's someone that we must walk with every day, every day, every day. Secondly, he's the Christ who lives forevermore. And this is important that you believe. Jesus is the Christ that lives forevermore because you are going to live forevermore in him. See, I said that a while ago. Scripture says that we are seated with him in heavenly places. And that means that you and I have to understand that, that wherever he's at, we are. Even though my physical body is here on this earth, I am with him seated at the right hand of the Father in the Spirit. And that means when this old body plays out, it's not going to be me ascending into heaven. Hey, I'm already there. And I don't want to change places. I want hell to be so far away from me that I'll never even experience any of it. And yet, that is a possibility unless we come to this understanding of how important it is to believe in him. Believe in him, what the Word says about him. And thirdly, he's the Christ who's coming back. He's coming back. You know, Jesus told us two things that we're to do in the end times. The first one he said is don't be deceived. Don't let anybody deceive you. And I'm telling you, the devil is working overtime right now trying to deceive Christians and into forsaking this Jesus. But the second thing that he told us to do is to be watchful. Be looking. Because it's going to happen, and you need to be ready. You need to be ready. So is he coming back to get me? Yeah. But he's also coming back for a greater purpose than picking you and I up. And we find that greater purpose in Revelation chapter 19. Revelation chapter 19, and I'll read again out of the Amplified, beginning in verse 11. After that I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse appeared. The one who was riding it is called faithful and true, and he passes judgment and wages war in righteousness. What's he going to be waging war against? Sin, the sin that's in the earth. Verse 12, his eyes are like a flame of fire, and on his head are many kingly crowns, and he has a name inscribed which he alone knows and understands. He is dressed in a robe dyed by the dipping in blood, and the title by which he is called is what? The Word of God. Does that even kind of convince you that the Word of God is important? Yeah. I mean, all the power that is represented in the Word of God is contained in Jesus. Amen? And the troops of heaven, clothed in fine linen, dazzling and clean, followed him on white horses. And from his mouth goes forth a sharp sword which he can smite the nations. He will shepherd and control them with a staff of iron. He will tread the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath and indignation of God, the all-ruler, the almighty, and the omnipotent. You see, one day God is going to judge the sin of this world, and he's going to do it through his Son, Jesus. So you see, all of a sudden, Jesus is not just a little baby born in a manger. I mean, here we have him in such a powerful description, coming back to this earth for the purpose of judging the earth of its sin. In verse 16, and on his robe and on his thigh, he has a name inscribed, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Amen. That's why we praise him. That's what we need to be declaring all the time. Jesus is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen? That's the resurrected Christ we're supposed to know. So when you study about Jesus, go over into the book of Revelation periodically and see what's coming, because you need to understand what's coming. I don't know what generation will be alive at his coming. I would like to be alive, but if I'm not, I won't be happy anyway. But there will be a generation of people, just like there was a generation when he came the first time as a baby. And there was a generation present when he was crucified and raised from the dead. And there will be a generation of Christian people that will be alive on this earth when he returns. And that's going to be a joyous occasion. Amen. Praise God. So this is the resurrected Christ we're supposed to know. This is the resurrected Christ that the demons know. And that's the Christ that John saw, and he fell down on his face as though he was dead. That's the Christ that knocked Paul off of his horse and changed his life forever. That's the same Christ that we're supposed to know and to fear and place our faith in. That's the resurrected Christ who I mentioned a while ago is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Same Christ. The same resurrected Christ who was and is to come. He's the same resurrected Christ who changes people's lives even today. You see, he didn't go to the right hand of the Father and sit down and just sit there twiddling his thumb waiting for the end to come. No, he's still actively at work, but you know where he's at work at? In you and in me. That's why it's important that we believe that he lives within us and that greater is he that's in us than he that's in this world, because we are to be the overcomers in this world. We are to be those that demonstrate to this world the power of Jesus Christ in this hour. That's the resurrected Christ who heals the sick today. He sets captives free today. And like the scripture said, he is today King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So is this the Jesus of the Bible that you believe in? Or do you have a Jesus who's weak and wimpy and has no power in your life? Does your Jesus always leave you sick? Does your Jesus always leave you lacking in provision? Does your Jesus always leave you in bondage no matter how loud you cry out? If so, you don't know the real Jesus. And see, we've got to know him. We've watered down the scripture to the point where we can't fully believe. But if we'll get back into the Word of God and begin to see who scripture says he is and believe who he is, then we're going to see these things begin to happen in our own lives. You see, it's time for us to search the scripture in order to get to know this resurrected Christ. He's not the same Jesus in the book of in the Gospels. He's more than that. I mean, what he was in the Gospels was awesome, but he's more than that now, and he wants to be that in your life. And it's time for us to begin to pray that we can individually and corporately can have a face-to-face encounter with this Jesus. Have you ever thought about that? Why did Paul have a face-to-face encounter with him? Why did the disciples get to see him after he was resurrected? Why did they get to see him face-to-face? And on through history, why have all of these people got to see him face-to-face, and yet we never have? Maybe it has to do with the level of our believing in him. I don't have an answer to that, but it's a good question to ponder. Because he does still reveal himself in many, many ways, even in the seasons that we're living in. So we need a spirit of repentance to fall upon us as a church. And we need to respond to that spirit of repentance. Because Jesus did not come back to get us full of sin. In fact, when he comes back, the thing he's going to be looking for is his blood. His blood that covers the sin through forgiveness of sin. You understand that? So it's important that we understand the power that's in the blood. Because John wrote in 1 John, he said that if we sin, then confess that sin. And then it says, for he is faithful and just to forgive us of that sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And how does he cleanse us? With his blood. Amen. So God is not coming back looking for sinless perfection. But he's coming back for a people who are walking under the blood of Jesus. Let's pray.